Let's go. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. I'm your host, Rob Shaw, a.k.a. Shaw's Law Podcast, a.k.a. The Pod God. Before we get into the show, I'm just gonna pitch you what I've been doing. You can't call yourself the Pod God and not be podding. Well, the God is podding. Two nights ago when you guys are listening to this, because this will drop Monday, Saturday night after the Celtics Heat game 3, Jay Shaw, my brother, my right-hand man, the Robin to my Batman, got on the pod with me. Yes, the bros are back. Your favorite podcasting bros are back in this bleep. We did a podcast on that game. Make sure you check that out. That is in the same feed that you are listening to this Mailbag Monday in, so there is no excuse for you to not be able to find it. Also, for my work over at theplaygrounder.com, I host the Playgrounder Trade Pod. Just dropped a podcast the same time as this one. Monday morning, you're grabbing your coffee. You got options. Where do you want to hear my beautiful, serendipitous voice? Do you want to hear it on the Shaw's Law Podcast, Mailbag Monday? Or maybe you want a little bit of my Playgrounder flavor and you want the Trade Pod. But the point is, the Pod God has pods for you. Without any further ado, let's jump into Mailbag Monday. Who is the perfect fit next to Giannis? It's funny you should ask that, loyal subscriber slash reader. The perfect fit next to Giannis is, we talk about it on the Trade Pod. No, in all seriousness, a lot of people have been pitching me Chris Paul to the Bucks. It just makes sense. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. In the Trade Pod that I really do hope you guys listen to, in all seriousness, I had a three-team trade pitch to me involving the Nets, the Thunder, and the Bucks, and it got Chris Paul to Milwaukee and a bunch of other fun things. So make sure you check that out. And I think Chris Paul may not be the best fit, but he's an amazing option next to Giannis. I'd also like to give Chris Paul credit for seeing the Heat better than I saw them. I won't speak for anybody else, but when Chris Paul was saying once he was traded to the Thunder last offseason and there were talks that he could get traded again, he said the Heat were on his list of teams, and I wasn't all the way sure why. They just didn't stick out to me as much as some of the other options, but Chris Paul knows more than me, more about basketball than I could dream of knowing. And the Heat are 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. So he saw that shit coming like he had binoculars. Moving on to our next question. If the Lakers lose in the Western Conference Finals, does Anthony Davis entertain leaving? He's through contract for next year regardless, I believe. And even if he wasn't, I don't think there's any scenario where Anthony Davis is leaving the Lakers. Him and LeBron have really good chemistry. They seem to enjoy playing with each other. And I don't think they're going to lose in the Western Conference Finals, but I've been wrong before. I had the Nuggets losing to the Clippers all the way until they beat the Clippers. But more importantly than that, this is a relevant Lakers franchise. I can't really think of too many times where people have left the Lakers. You have Shaq and you have Dwight Howard are the only two that I can really think of where they were like, hey, I don't want to be a Laker anymore. And a lot of that was Shaq had won 3 rings there and him and Kobe's feud was an issue. So I don't see a scenario where he leaves the Lakers. Like, not even if they, like, had, like, a Clippers-level folding do I see him leaving the Lakers. Also, this question and the last two were brought to you by Riley McInerney. That's Riley_McInerney on Twitter. He's super supportive of everything we do here at the Shaw's Law Podcast. So just wanted to give him a shout out. Who was the last team to win an NBA championship without a top 10 player in the NBA? If you listen to Yosh and I on Saturday Night's Pod, we did address this with the four teams left in the playoffs. As far as, does anybody have a top 10 player besides the Lakers, who clearly have two? There's a case to be made for Jokic. Jordan thinks that there is a case to be made for Tatum. And I think Tatum is in, like, I feel like there's like six. I'll just do the exercise again instead of telling you what I feel like. You have LeBron, AD, Harden, Steph, KD, Kawhi. There's those six. And Giannis, seven. And then there's a substantial drop-off to me. And there's a bunch of other guys in the 8 to 15 range. And depending on how you view Jokic and Tatum, those guys might be in your top 10, but I don't think they're consensus top 10 players around the league. And the last team to win one without a top 10 player, my thought was the Detroit Pistons, the Chauncey Billups team. Jordan gave pushback with the 2014 Spurs team that Kawhi wasn't a top 10 player yet, and Duncan was on his last legs and was no longer a top 10 player. And I think that's a really, really good answer, that that team had. I think Tatum is better offensively than what Kawhi was. But I think how we started seeing Kawhi's potential to be a really special player is sort of where Tatum is now, only more advanced offensively. When healthy, only healthy players, so basically no KD and no Steph or Klay right now, a team comprised of all Americans, so like LeBron and Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, versus the world team of Giannis, Doncic, and Embiid, who wins a 7-game series inside the bubble? I'm always, when picking series, my first thing is, who has the best player in the series? That's the first place I want to go. So America has LeBron and Kawhi, who I feel relatively comfortable arguing that those are the two best players. I mean, you could make a case for Giannis, but LeBron and Kawhi is a really nice point to start at. But Giannis, Doncic, Embiid, really thinking about it quick, my first thought is, give me Team America. You have Dame, you could use CJ, you have Davis. I think the top end talent that America has goes a little bit further. There's really, really tough international guys like Jokic and even Murray, who's Canadian, but I think the top end talent favors America. What Netflix shows are in rotation? Oh, this is fun. I'm a little bit behind on The Order. Season 2 of that came out over the summer, and I'd like to catch up and watch that. On Hulu, I still haven't finished Dave, which is Little Dicky's show, but I was enjoying that when I was watching it. I mean, the bubble came back, and with basketball around, that tends to be my nighttime focus. Like, the time when I would lay down and watch a show or a movie, it's basketball time. Like, this is a podcast about basketball. I love hoops. There's not anything else that I've been dying to watch. I've recently started dabbling in older movies that I've had heard good things about, but that I had personally never seen. Last weekend, I watched The Patriot for the first time. It was good. It's really a weird thing to be watching in a time like this because of what patriotism means right now, I think, is a little bit blurred to me as a black man. So watching The Patriot, including some of the things where they talked about any slave who served 6 months. Ooh, I hope it's 6 months. Somebody's going to listen to this and be like, come on, man, you got to know your facts. But any slave who served a certain amount of time was eligible to be a free man after that amount of time. And it's just, race is just so baked into, shitty race relations is baked into American history in a way that is still mind-boggling to me. I don't want to turn this into a little rant, so I'll move on to the next question. Who are your X factors on each team for the Lakers and the Nuggets series? For the Lakers, to me, it's Dwight Howard. Can he continue to physically bother Jokic? Like, just be bigger, stronger, faster, and make it difficult for Jokic to do the things he's really, really good at. And in a complete 180 heel turn for the Nuggets, I think it's Gary Harris. Or actually, no, I'm overthinking it. It's Michael Porter Jr. I want to say Gary Harris because that's a little contrarian and it's a deep answer and it's a deep cut. And Rob was really thinking, it's Michael Porter Jr. Can he shoot the shit out of the ball? Can he be effective and not get picked on defensively? It's Michael Porter Jr. and Dwight Howard are the X factors for the Lakers and the Nuggets, respectively, in the Western Conference Finals. The next string of questions come from my boy Sparks. Make sure you check out his clothing line, Failure Over Regret. I want to say it's F.OR on Instagram. Actually, I'm going to make sure I plug this right because Sparks always, always shows love to whatever movement I am with. So I'm going to make sure that I plug the clothing line right and don't have you guys searching for some old goofball shit. The Instagram is Failure Over Regret, which is the name of the company. They are shipping nationwide. The clothing is really top notch. This isn't a sponsored ad either. This is just love for my bro. So make sure you guys go cop some Failure Over Regret merchandise. Let's get into Sparks' questions. If I have to trade one of Embiid or Simmons, who is it? For me, if I'm the new coach and I step in, I tell Elton Brand immediately, don't trade either of them. Let me see what I have and let's see how they work in my system. But if I had to trade one, oh man, this is tough. I think I trade Simmons. I think Embiid as an offensive hub is just, I know what Embiid is. There's not a lot of mystery. Some of Simmons' appeal is we don't all the way know what his full potential is, but I don't know that he ever reaches it as an offensive player. So I trade Simmons and build around Embiid. Does Beal fit better in Memphis than in Brooklyn? Yes. It's sexy to send Brad Beal to Brooklyn. He's definitely a third star to match with Katie and Kyrie. But in Memphis, you pair him with Ja Morant, and that's a very, very scary backcourt. We've seen Brad Beal be successful with John Wall. Morant has a lot of similarities to Wall and might be a better shooter down the line than Wall. So I can see that pairing working. Jalen Rose used to call Wall and Beal hustle and flow because how different they were, but it still worked. Morant brings a lot of those John Wall qualities to the table, and I think Beal would still fit very nicely with him. Speaking of the Wizards, also from Sparks, Do the Wizards force a team to take up Wall's contract is if well if they end up trading Beal? I don't think you can get any team to take them together, but if you move Beal, now you are trying to move Wall in a salary dump. But I think the Wizards are going to try, at least this season, one more time of, hey, we have a healthy Wall. We have a Beal who just came off an extraordinary season. Can we make a push in the East? Are we a contender? How many pieces away are we? I think they run it back one more time and see what they have in Wall and Beal, because they have been good together before. What teams in the mediocre tier need to tank? In the mediocre tier? You never want to be in the mediocre tier. If you're in the mediocre tier, you have fucked up. You either want to be really bad and be trending towards a top 10 pick, or you want to be really good, like championship level. You don't want to be stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle gets you okay player. It's very tough to rebuild from the middle. The Heat have recently done it just because it's the Heat, and they were able to rebuild on the fly. And I'm not even sure that they thought they could move, that their rebuild would happen this quickly. But they struck gold in the middle of the lottery, which is, it's hard. I'm actually going to read you guys a tweet that I sent out about the Heat's roster. This is their rotation. Myers Leonard, the 11th pick. Kelly Olynyk, 13th. Tyler Hero, 13th. Bam, 14th. Jimmy Butler, 30th. Now we start moving into second round and undrafted guys playing a large role in Miami. Jay Crowder, the 34th pick. Goran Dragic, the 45th. Kendrick Nunn, Derrick Jones, and Duncan Robinson, all undrafted. The only top 10 pick on their team is Andre Iguodala, who was drafted in 2004, and he was the 9th pick. That's very, very hard to do, and we should be super impressed that the Heat are 2 games away from the NBA Finals. Part of that is Jimmy Butler was the 30th pick, and he developed himself and worked his ass off to become a top 15, 20 player in the league. They knocked it out the park with Hero and Bam. Goran Dragic is playing great basketball. They discovered Kendrick Nunn. They got usage out of Derrick Jones. And Duncan Robinson can flat out shoot the dimples off the rock. But this goes to the Heat's front office finding people. And the bubble format, I think, has elevated the Heat just a tad. I don't know if they beat everybody with a raucous home crowd, but there is no home court, and then we can just outwork you. And that is what the Heat do. That is an outwork crew. Giannis to Dallas makes so much sense. What do I think, Sparks? I think this is really true. Dallas has a lot of that international flavor. Dirk built the culture there. I hope I didn't answer this question last week. Well, here we are now. Dirk built the culture there. And now it has like this international zest to it. And you have a young international superstar in Luka and Kristaps Porzingis. I expect him to be even better next year after having a full year of recovery from that horrendous leg injury. It just makes sense that they've built a culture in Dallas that is very open to international players. Very similar to what the Spurs have done. It's funny, Texas is home to international love for basketball. Texas. That's all I'll say. You guys can figure out the rest. What do the Heat need to make them elite? Right now, the Heat are elite, but a certified bucket getter, which they may have in Tyler Hero. He might just need more reps and more time to grow. He's only a rookie. He's very young. But that guy who can get his own shot and create out of isolation. And I know I say that a lot, but that's a very important skill the further you get in the playoffs. Defenses get tighter. The scouting report gets better. They know what you're going to run. oh, that little pet play that you love to go to late in the games. They've watched it a million times. They're jumping that play. Sometimes it turns into playground basketball. Hey, you want to run out? You know all our plays. How about we go isolation 1-4 flat? Can your best defender stop my best offensive player one-on-one from getting the shot he wants or drawing in help to get somebody else a shot? Sometimes late game playoff basketball comes down to, is my offensive player better than your best defender? And that's one thing that the Heat don't necessarily have right now, but I see some of those chops within Tyler Hero. And late in game one, Jimmy Butler did that. He hit a big corner three, but he didn't create that. But the double bump on Jason Tatum in game one was that. So maybe they need more of that from from Jimmy Butler, or they need a player who is known for doing that. And that player might be developing in front of our eyes on their roster in Tyler Hero. Once again, guys, this has been the Mailbag. Make sure you're checking out theplaygrounder.com. My friends over there are writing and creating great content. I have a little idea that I'm going to post on social media for them. Please check out the Playgrounder Trade Pod. I was on the regular Playgrounder Pod earlier this week. Make sure you're subscribing to all places where you can hear my beautiful voice. I'm Rob Shaw, aka Shaw's Law, also known as the Pod God. This has been your Monday Mailbag. Don't forget to check out episode 2 of the Playgrounder Trade Pod, out now in your phone right now, baby. I believe that's everything. Oh, lastly, hey, send some trades for the Trade Pod. DM me at Shaw's Law Podcast. Mailbag questions, drop them to me on the timeline. Send them to my DM. That's at Shaw's Law Podcast. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. As always, all feedback is appreciated. Much love.